In love with movies, in love with movies.
With Danny and Nick.
Da da da.
Hello, mom, mommy, mom, mama, ma, mommy.
Okay, we are recording now. You saw me click that button, right?
Y'all, we got this cool new mic set up thanks to Aunt Mary Beth. Shout out. So now I have a real microphone and a headset and I feel cool.
Okay. That's blowing out people's ears if they're listening to this right now. So I apologize, listeners, if we've got a few more pops than usual and if this sounds a little different and if Danielle decides to literally rupture all of your eardrums randomly throughout this episode. But hopefully the overall quality continues to improve as we continue to improve our technical setup. Danny is, as you can tell, very clearly excited by the fact that she can hear her own voice in her ears through headphones right now. But Danielle, why don't you tell the listeners, the movie lovers out there, what this is?
A podcast? Welcome, everyone, to In Love with Movies. My name's Danny.
And I'm Nick.
And we're married and we talk.
We talk about love and
movies.
Softball handoff, just, you know, totally hit into the dirt.
So, Nick, what are we talking about? What's our love theme today?
Well, today we are talking about, I guess we never came up with an actual hot topic phrase for it, but the topic is moving into a new home and all of the loves that come with that, including maybe learning more about your partner and having to learn how to love them through those types of changes, right?
Yeah. So we thought we'd talk about, let's see how many accents I can do in this podcast.
Just in this one episode, though.
We thought that we'd talk about our experience since we're mostly settled in. About 3 days ago was our 1 month of living in this house, moving into this house. So we thought we'd talk about our experience over the past few months of buying a ding-danged house.
And moving into said house and making said house our own. Maybe we'll do something like that. Like, house a home or loving your home. We'll come up with a cutesy name for it. And then what's the movie we are discussing afterwards?
Oh my gosh, you guys, you all know this movie. You love this movie. We're very happy to be talking about this movie. It's Smart House Baby.
Yes, the Disney Channel original classic from 1999.
Oh, is that what it was? 19? I didn't know that.
And we'll save that for afterwards. For those of you who may be new to our podcast, welcome. Thank you. You are now part of the Movie Lover family, and we love to have you. But we start off by discussing our love topic, and then we transition at the second half of the podcast to discussing the movie and why it was important to one, or in this case, both of us, why our memories are with that movie, why we love that movie, et cetera, et cetera.
And if you don't care about love, fast forward, homies.
That's true. You could just skip to that section of things, or, you know, you could cut it off if all you care about is love. And who cares about Smart House? Maybe you don't love that movie as much as we do,
but you're wrong.
So anyway, so do we want to start with the moving process? Do we want to start with the looking for a house? Do you want to go chronological order, maybe?
Yeah, I guess so. So Nick and I did not think we were going to buy a house this year, right? That really was not our plan.
Oh, no. If you'd asked me like 6 months ago, I'd have been like, no. We're not going to go doing that. We still might want to move out of the Chicago area. We're still not sure we want to do that. But we've been saving, and we certainly knew it was something in our, you know, in the next couple of years future. But
yes, next couple of years. But then this little thing happened called a global pandemic.
Yeah.
AKA coronavirus. We were stuck in a very small apartment. Not that I don't love Nick, but I don't love being that close to Nick at all times. Surprisingly, I know some of you are probably like shocked. But it was very hard to work together. Well, not work together. Work at the same time in the same space. We already talked about this on the podcast, but
we are currently. Yeah, we did talk about it a little bit. We are now recording from our new studio / my office. Where I can be completely separate from Danielle, who then hangs out in our basement, which is her yoga studio.
My lady cave.
Her lady cave.
Yeah.
And we can be completely apart from each other, where our previous setup had been a desk in the kitchen and the kitchen table.
Yes. Or a tray table over a litter box.
You only tried that once.
Because it didn't work. So anyways, Nick and I, we were kind of like perusing. We have easy access to real estate since my mom's a real estate agent. So we started looking a little bit and then we fell in love with, well, we didn't fall in love. We fell in love with each other, but the more we started looking at places, the more we realized that it was realistic.
Yeah, feasible.
And it was
within
something,
our budget.
Yeah, and it was something that we wanted to do. We were ready for more space. We were ready to kind of take the next step into equity, you know, owning things.
Yeah, the idea being that we could actually afford basically the same amount of money per month in rent if we took a little bit out of our savings as a down payment. And then, you know, but instead of rent, you're actually, it means something. You're making something of it.
Yeah, so we found a little neighborhood that we were looking at. We looked on the south side because we did look in the city. We loved the city. We loved where we used to live in the Wicker Parkish area, but we realized we couldn't actually afford that. But instead settled on getting a house, a full house, for the same price as our rent, basically.
Yeah, yeah. That I did not expect that to happen, but was very happy when it was true.
Yeah, so it was a couple months of looking. What's scary about looking during a pandemic is that everyone made the same decision we did, saying, holy cow, I need more space, or I'm ready for something new. And so the market was wild. People in the city were buying without even seeing the houses.
Yeah, and I just saw something, actually, I was reading a news story that was talking about how the real estate market is one of the reasons, like basically big tech and real estate is the reason that the overall U.S. economy has continued to do well, despite obviously huge sections of people and individuals struggling very much so. Us being blessed enough to have kept both of our jobs during all of this, it made it, you know, possible for us to do this. And it's the common, it's literally, they were like, the reason it's happened is, and it described us. It was like people trying to get more space, people trying to get out of major cities, and people taking advantage of the really, really nice interest rates that they have going on right now.
Yeah. Interest rates were great, which I didn't even understand what that meant before we started looking at houses. But basically we pay back our mortgage cheaper than we would 6 months ago, basically, right?
Yes. Yeah, more or less.
Yeah. And like Nick said, we are very privileged to both have our jobs still. So that meant we were saving more money because we weren't going out. We weren't really buying that much. And by that, I mean, I wasn't buying coffee every single day. We were actually making it, you know, food. So we ended up saving more than I think we expected.
Yeah.
And then people don't really talk about when you're young buying your first house. I've only heard, like, you can't do it. It's never going to happen. We're in so much debt. Y'all, Nick is in...
Millennials will never own homes like they've lost the American dream. That's what I always heard.
And Nick is in so much debt. Let's be real.
Yeah, the only thing that, you know, I think... I'm trying to think. No. Technically, this house is now the most debt. But my student loan debt is not close to that.
Yeah. So everyone's always, you know, in our age group has said, not possible. And then we had some very good people who helped us realize that it is possible. You just need a little bit of money and savings, a little bit of patience, and I don't know.
So yeah,
it wasn't scary.
So we had an interesting thing, and it's you go back and forth. I don't want to get too deep into the weeds because I want to talk about like moving into the place as well. But the place we ended up being was actually somewhere that we saw first. We kind of liked it. We wanted to see other places because we weren't totally in love with it. That same day, we found some place we loved more. Put in an offer, didn't get it. Then someone else got it. Then we came back to look at this place and discovered, oh, someone else had put an offer in on it, so we no longer could get the place that we were going to get. So we kept looking. We put in a couple of other offers that didn't happen, thank goodness. And then ended up this place. We were very blessed. Came back on the market for not entirely known reasons, at least not all the details to us. So anyway, then we put an offer in, and ours worked out, and a month or so later, we were moving in.
Yeah, it was perfect circumstances. And the hardest part for me about the house buying process is I kept, and I know everyone says don't do this, but I kept envisioning myself living in the houses that we would put offers on. And then your dream got crushed when people would say, no, you didn't get it. So that was really hard. It was pretty emotional. I cried a couple of times to be like, but that was the house. But I truly believe that this was meant to happen. Everything happens for a reason. This house came back on the market, like Nick said, for us, I think. And there was a couple of other signs, like the previous owner's last name is the same as one of the last names of my student who passed away, who I believe is one of my guardian angels. And there was a date painted on a wall in a closet, which is like the same date that my dad passed away, who was also one of my guardian angels. So like, this house has good vibes and I feel like it was meant to be ours.
Yeah, I totally agree. So we then moved, and we, for the first time in our lives, were also in a place where we could financially afford, and decided that our marriage definitely needed it, whether it was financially viable or not. for us to pay actual proper movers. And why is that necessary for us, Danielle?
Well, Nick, we've almost murdered each other before over moving. So Nick and I have moved. I mean, as probably most of you, if you're living in a city, you've probably moved a time or six. That's just what you do in the city, right? You like every other year basically move.
Yeah.
I move from roommate to in with Nick, to, you know, back and forth.
I think it's our age too. Like yeah. the time in our lives was definitely a little bit of that case as well.
Yeah. And then sometimes you end up in apartments where you're like, I can only stay a year and that's it. I'm going to wait till my lease is over and get out. So that happened to me a couple times. And Nick and I have found we've known each other for 6 years now in 5 days, right?
Yep. Yeah. We're getting very close.
Yeah. We can't move. We cannot move together. Like physically, I don't know why our brains just don't match up.
Oh, no. Oh, I know the not matching part.
Okay,
your brain does not have the same spatial awareness that is required for particularly moving furniture.
That's true.
And then I will also admit that we together struggle a little bit when it comes to me communicating. So you don't have the same sort of immediate spatial awareness in your brain, and then when I try to explain what I'm expecting or whatever, I do a terrible job, and then you just kind of nod and say, yeah, I get it, and then do like the exact opposite of what I was asking you to do. And yeah. So that causes a lot of fights.
That's true. And the last time we moved into our last apartment, I didn't really move anything. Your friend Nick came over.
Yes.
Thank you, Stretch.
Yep.
Because we were moving from literally next door.
Creator of our website, as well as mover of furniture. He was very kind to do that.
Yeah. And so that was less stressful, but we didn't have a lot of stuff. And so moving from an apartment that was up quite a bit of flights of stairs to another house that had multiple rooms, it was just very, man, it was nice. Let me tell you, if you guys ever move, and we don't plan to move for quite some time, but if you ever move, save up for movers. Totally worth it.
Very much worth it. I'm giving Danielle looks right now because we're working on this new mic, and I'm like pointing out to her how when she positions herself in a different place, it sounds different.
Hello?
Anyway, so yeah, the movers, and then they thankfully took care of that. And the movers we got were really good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will also say we got this tip from, I think it was my mom, gave the tip of like using colored stickers basically to establish what rooms go into what places. And that made things a lot easier as well.
Yeah, especially because our movers didn't speak English, which like, I don't care, but it was just a better visual for them to be like, oh, I don't have to ask every time I'm going to go to the basement or I'm going to go upstairs. Yeah. So that saved our marriage, I think. Or at least saved a lot of fights.
I mean, it allowed for us to save the fights for when we were actually then sort of doing things in the house.
Yeah, Nick can't put up wallpaper. So my best friend, Lizzie, is a godsend. And I had this beautiful vision in my head. And I'm going to talk about this. But basically, when you buy a house and you watch a lot of HGTV, you have these pictures in your head of what your house is going to look like and all the projects that you're going to do. And our house was built in 1955. So like obviously needed a little bit of updating. And there was a room in this house, our guest bedroom, that was pink and white. And gosh darn it, I hate pink.
I mean, I'm sure it was perfect for the like, I think 7-year-old girl that was living in that room.
She's fine. She had a butterfly heart fan, all this stuff. But that was the first thing we did. I said, absolutely. We don't have a house with pink. So we moved in, we painted it gray and put up this awesome fake shiplap. Again, shout out to HGTV wallpaper from Target, my favorite store. And it's basically stick and peel, but ooh, baby, it's not easy. And it's just one wall. You would think it'd be easy. But that was the first thing where Nick and I had been, we closed on a house that day. We didn't have any furniture. We were just trying to get things together. We had cleaners in our house. They were bad. So we were just trying to figure things out. And then we still had to go home and move the whole next day. So Nick was trying to put up wallpaper and he ripped it a little bit and then game over.
I had a moment where I just had to walk away. I was afraid I would harm the new house. it was not good, but it all worked out and it looked beautiful. Everybody keeps complimenting.
Yeah, it does look good. And then also Nick can't, well, we got over it, but painting. We have a large living room, which we're, again, very blessed to have, that was brown. People don't ever paint pink or poop brown. What is wrong with people? I mean, I get that's like the early 2000s probably or whatever, late 90s. Don't paint anything brown. Stop. I just keep looking at you.
I'm aware. And then it sounds funny to the people on the mic. And then you also keep screaming occasionally. I'm sorry. I'm trying to help.
Let me live my life. Okay. Anyways. So we decided to go, you know, neutral gray blue and darker gray blue. And the paint that we got was really runny and it was splashing everywhere. And again, Nick had to walk away.
Yeah. And then you had to call on your mother. Thank you very much to my mother-in-law who came and helped for one wall. And then she at least made me feel better. I'm sorry, movie lovers and listeners. I just had my head literally gripped by the neck and turned towards the microphone.
You can't look at me if I can't look at you.
Yeah, we need to get a second mic. So anyway, it was a great time, and the painting, you know, turned out long run, and then the second half of things, I helped out with the painting. I just discovered that, you know, for my own sanity, I had to do a little bit of extra work with regards to the taping edges and things like that, and then you just let it be a little runny, and then who cares?
Okay, a little bit extra work. Nick literally used, I think, 4 rolls of painter's tape and painted every area of floor and stair that existed, but we didn't get paint on the floor. Did I get it all over the ceiling and the carpet? Yes, but not on the floor.
Carpet we were planning to pull out anyway, so we didn't care. We did not care.
Yeah. But anyways, it's been a crazy journey. And one thing I think about, especially doing this podcast, this is our last episode of this whole year. Season, I guess.
Sure, both.
Whatever it is. It's crazy to see how far we've come in a year. We own a house that's got 3 floors with 3 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms. I got a basement and a backyard, and it's been a wild journey, but I'm very happy where we are.
Yeah, it's been a really great time. We feel very blessed. And anyone out there, I think pieces of advice I would give about with regards to, you know, looking for houses, depending upon the area that you live in, you might be able to afford more than you think you can. It does take sacrificing maybe the exact location that you think you want to live in. And beyond that, I would say, you know, figure out moving in, I think, more than anything, probably since we got married, like in the marriage and the wedding process. This has been helping me grow with you and learning, you know, it's the purpose of the podcast of just kind of getting closer and discovering more about each other. And you know, there's been in this last month a lot that comes along with that. So be patient with your partner if you move in with them and like have an actual piece of property that you have to take care of, because there's a whole slew of things that come along with that. And it's going to be things you don't necessarily anticipate. So just know that as you uncover things, you're going to uncover pieces that maybe you both have very different ideas about the way things were going to go.
Yeah, and also unexpected things, like we've blown up the electricity only twice in 1 month, and the downstairs toilet likes to shoot poop back up it. When we moved in, I was like, this is the poop toilet, because it was downstairs, it was far away from everyone, it can no longer be the poop toilet.
It was meant to be, though, because that otherwise it would have been like your office would have been the poop toilet also.
That's true. But yeah.
I was just going to ask, are there any other stories or things you want to share before we move on to our Closer Through Science?
I would just like to say thank you to anyone, if you're listening or if you're not listening, but I'm sending you vibes, for helping us. This isn't something that we just did by ourselves. We had my mom was our realtor and also gave us nice gifts and helped us paint. Nick's mom, shout out to Becca and Randy. They brought a bunch of stuff from Ohio and helped us put it all in. All my friends who have stopped by and like brought gifts and helped put up wallpaper. So we're just very thankful to have good friends who support us in this too, because we're far away now from a lot of our friends. We're on the far south side. But it's been really nice. Even in a pandemic, guys, we wear our masks inside and we mostly hang out outside. The people have still been very supportive, and we're just very appreciative of that.
Agreed. I second all of that. So now on to our Closer Through Science, hashtag Closer Through Science. Use that hashtag on our social medias to let us know your answers to these questions. And before I ask the question, Danielle, would you tell the listeners what Closer Through Science is?
Why do you always make me explain it when I forget what it is? But basically, it's a bunch of questions from some psychologist, I think, who determine that these questions help people get closer together. It doesn't have to be marriage or whatever. It just helps build relationships. And fun fact, I'm sure Nick is going to say this. I'm going to steal his thunder. His therapist recommended it for him, which means it's legit, y'all.
And to be clear with that, it was not like, oh, the therapist recommended it for this podcast. It was Danielle and I, through some of those things involving paint and other frustrations, my therapist was kind of giving recommendations of ways that we could build trust between each other as a married couple, and literally sent me the list of questions that come from this piece of science literature, and was like, these are great questions that have been shown in a lot of studies to help people get closer together. And I was like, it's funny you mentioned that. So, but the original study, as I understand it, was actually random strangers that they used to get them to be closer to each other. So use these questions with each other. Use these questions with your first dates. I mean, this is a great, you could go through, you could, you, I can, you guys could send, you, we posted the link a while ago with the original set of questions. You could also contact us on social media or at our email address with moviesinlove@gmail.com. And we would send you the whole list of them if you wanted to, you know, say on your next Zoom date for the friend that you found on Twitter. I meant to say Tinder.
Clearly he's been out of the game a while, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry. Anyway, so you could let us know those things, and they're legit. And like actual practicing therapists, psychologists, etc. do recommend them. So I'm not just pulling these out my butt.
Okay, speaking of out your butt, what's the next question?
So this question, Danielle, is if you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be?
I think that it would be the ability to travel without having to travel. If I could like snap my fingers and be in Peru, or if I could like snap my fingers and just be at my mom's house, you know. I'd like to get rid of that travel time because I really like traveling places, but it's a pain in the butt to have to fly or do all those things. So I guess it answers the question.
Sure. Absolutely. Teleportation.
Yes. Yeah. That's what it's called.
Yes. Yeah. I actually have I think we've talked about things like this before, and I've definitely shared with you my same like superpower one, which would be to fly, which is kind of the same thing as I hate. I very much hate the traveling aspect of things. I kind of enjoy maybe being able to be alone, and I just think it'd be cool to be able to fly. So that would be the superpower one. And then as I was thinking about this question as I read it, though, I was thinking like a more sort of serious, legit one. And I don't know if you have one or want to answer like this too, but I was also just thinking like if I had a quality or ability, I think it would be the quality or ability to be more mindful, like in the present moment. I am very much someone who gets frustrated, angry, planning, etc., thinking the way I want to know and how to do things. And I just think that it would be better if I could stay calmer and stay more present.
I like that one. Okay, I changed my mind. I like teleportation if that was a superpower, but if I could like enhance a quality of myself, I really wish I could sing better. Those of you who are listening who were probably on my musical improv team, I sing. I do it in front of people. But I just don't think I'm very good. So if I could like be Broadway singer, I would love to do that.
Okay. You sing better than you give yourself credit for, but I can understand wanting to sing even better.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is the in love portion of the podcast. We're going to have to pause now, let you all have a quick break where we speak to you about some sponsors.
And I have to pee.
To help us hopefully maybe buy a second mic so that we can not have the awkward situation that I think you are all hearing right now. And then we will come back to talk about what movie is it again, Danielle?
Smart House.
All right. See you on the other side.
I got in love with movies. Da da da. In love with movies. Da da da.
Welcome back, movie lovers. I hope you all enjoyed a little bit of that ASMR of our cat Bing. Danielle is loving on him very much right now, and those are his cuddly noises. He's a very vocal cat, but also only purrs when he's very happy or wants food.
So cute. Okay, I gotta put you down now. I love you.
And I hope you all don't mind, but just so you know, I know that I've read some scientific papers also about how the sound of cats purring has in fact been shown to like basically make people happier, whether they are cat people or not. It just uplifts your spirits. So you're welcome.
Yeah, it was actually a subliminal message to get you to keep listening to our podcast. Okay, so anyways, we watched a movie, right, Nick?
We sure did. And it was a movie.
What do you mean it was a movie?
I don't know. We'll talk about it.
Okay, so the movie we watched was Smart House, a Disney Channel original starring Ryan Merriman, who this is, we've only done 12 episodes, but this is, Bing's going to unplug our mic right now.
he's going to try.
This was the second movie we reviewed with Ryan Merriman as the front man, but he's younger in this one and a little bit chubbier.
And why don't you reckon or point out to listeners who are, you know, longtime movie lovers, what was the other movie that they will have seen him in?
Oi, Luck of the Irish, eh?
Okay, that's what's known as a mic pop. And oh. you just maybe made... Did you see how that hurt your ears?
I liked it.
Okay, she liked it. All right, never mind. I apologize. I'll stop being annoying. Anyhow, so yes, Luck of the Irish. And so we reviewed that back in March, I think it was. Yeah?
Yeah, for St. Patrick's Day, obviously.
Makes a lot of sense. So he's also Disney Channel original, apparently, star for a little while there. I was looking up his IMDb because I realized, like, I don't dislike this guy. He had kind of a decent look. But also, you know, what have I seen him in? And he's basically done nothing but, like, B and C level horror movies since this, like, little Disney Channel thing did.
That's a weird flex.
What, that I looked him up or that he does B and C horror movies?
To go from Disney Channel movies to horror movies. However, this movie's actually scary.
I wrote that down. I was like, you know what? That scene where she like first kind of really goes haywire and just after she's like created herself and everyone's surprised that she exists in the real world, that they the movie, the music that they chose and like what's actually happening and the like, I can be everywhere and she's multiplying herself. I was like, that's legit freaky.
And then she locks them in the house. Okay, we'll get to that part. But also Luck of the Irish was a little bit of a horror movie too, because there's an evil, scary leprechaun.
Which is like random act three doesn't fit with the rest of the movie. Kind of the same way.
But I take this back. It wasn't a weird flex. This was just his progression to be in horrible horror movies.
Makes sense.
Okay, so Nick, tell us the plot of Luck. What movie is this?
Before we get to the plot, I'd love to hear your love story with this movie. So what's your memories of this movie? Why do you love this movie? What's this movie mean to you?
Okay, so same as most of these movies, because I don't really watch new movies that often. I don't remember when I first started. I'm sure it was 1999 that I started watching this movie. And I just remember it being so, like, unique. Very different. Had never seen a concept like this before. But as a young kid, how old was I in 1999? Seven. This is, like, the house of my dreams. This story was, like, the story of my dreams. Also, like, my dad died. His mom died. So I was like, oh, my gosh, it's me. So in the future, I'm going to get a smart house.
See, now, even more than actually the first time I watched this, per se, what I remember is the advertisements for this.
Yeah.
And I can remember specifically, this was a movie that I was like marking my calendar for the first time it was going to premiere. And I think it was the whole Smart House thing a little bit too, but I just remember like something about this movie seemed alluring and captivating. And I really wanted to watch it. And like, although I know it was a Disney movie and I was at least old enough that people weren't exactly going to be talking about it the next day in school. But like, I wanted to see it. And I was, maybe it was because I was almost embarrassed at how much I wanted to see it, that it sticks out in my memory, but I wanted to see it real bad, like marked my calendar. And then the other thing I remember is this actually came out a few months after, for those of you who may be fans of the TV show Futurama premiered a couple of months before this. And the actress, and hold on, I wrote down her name, who does Pat, You'll know her from a lot of other stuff as well, but that's Armageddon. My bad. Kate Siegel. So she's been in Sons of Anarchy. She probably before this was most famous for
Married with Children. Yeah.
And so I remember like that voice, and she's just got a really cool voice, and she plays Leela in Futurama, and I remember really really liking Futurama, and I think that was part of the other reason I was like most interested in seeing this movie.
I agree. Her, if you rewatch it, her voice is so comforting because you don't see who it is until basically is that third act, end of the movie. I'm still learning those act things. So you just hear this voice the whole time, and it's like a voice where you're like, ah, like that's my childhood, or like that just brings me back. It's such a great voice.
Which is really interesting to me because I can remember having at least some semblance of an idea about Married with Children, part of the gag for her was not that she had this nice soothing voice, but she was always like shouting from off camera, "Bud! Bud!" And like she had this really nasally voice and like was kind of intentionally supposed to be annoying. But yeah, you and I both have pleasant memories of her voice. So that was the other reason I liked it. And then the first thing I can remember watching this movie this time, and I don't know how you feel, there's a moment where in pretty much the opening scene, this smart house, which let's take a moment to laugh for those of you who've watched this with us at what we thought a smart house would be and what it would look like. And yeah, so okay. Anyhow, it's not what it is, because things like houses do not have electronic arms that come out of the side of the house to pick up the newspaper. And the CG on that, I can't. Do you remember if it looked good at the time? All I remember is it looked terrible in modern day.
I thought it looked good at the time. Okay, can I give a plot overview first? Yes, before please. I'm not reading this. I'm just making this up from my head. So, Smart House, 1999. It's basically a family, I just said, where the mom has passed away. So the younger or the older brother, played by Ryan Merriman, his name is Ben. I thought it was funny that his name's Ben. The dad's name is Nick, which is Nick and his brother's name. Anyways, he basically takes over. He's like the mom figure since his mom has passed away. And he's like happy with it because he just likes taking care of his family. His dad works a lot. His sister's little. But he's totally obsessed with winning this contest of this brand new smart house that a female scientist, I'd like to point that out. I appreciate that. But obviously it leads to the plot of love and stuff. But she created and is giving away. And it's like this huge project in their town. He enters the contest every single night. And then obviously he wins. Otherwise there wouldn't be a movie. And then they get to live in this new awesome smart house. And he doesn't have to worry about being a mom anymore. He can just be a kid again because they have a mom named Pat, who is the computer system. And Pat stands for, I wrote it down.
Pat is the one played by Kate Siegel, or the motherly type, Leela, for those of you who are following along. Also from Of Married with Children, and Pat stands for?
Personal Assistance Technology. So basically, she's just programmed to take care of the family that lives in her house. And yeah, that is the plot. And then things happen, things go wrong, and then it's a horror. It turns into a horror movie at the end.
Yeah, and I got to say, this was not a planned segment or anything like that. Danielle giving a little bit of a synopsis. But if you all liked it as much as I did just now, I'm thinking this could be a future synopsis situation where Danielle, you know, summarizes whatever the movie is that we're watching. And it might be even more entertaining for movies than it is the first time she's ever watched them.
Okay.
So if that is a new segment you all want for season two, what would we call it, Danielle?
Danny's Dingle.
Okay, how about this, movie lovers, then? Why don't you send us emails, tweets, attach us on social medias, find us, and then let us know if that's something you would like. And more importantly, apparently we need to have a name for it. So what would you like to have Danny summarize any given movie that we watch? What would you like it to be called? And let us know if you'd like to hear it, because I for one might be very entertained by that.
Okay, so anyways, back to this movie. So I enjoy the beginning. Just it opens up with a boy band song. And I was like, obviously it's not Backstreet Boys. It's not NSYNC. I know every single one of their songs that exist. I was like, what is the name of this boy band again? And I had to look it up because I think the song that opens up is like, the house is, I can't even remember.
Jump, jump, the house is jumping.
Yes, that one.
Jump, jump. And we're not going to go any further because I don't know if they actually still exist or might, you know, come after us for plagiarism.
Anyways, the band is called Five, in case any of you knew that or forgot. But it's Five spelled with the number five, I-V-E.
Of course it is.
Yeah, and then it's just, I wrote down, graphics are so bad. Like, this used to be such a cool movie, and then you start out with, like, the house retrieving the mail, and that's bad. It just looks bad.
Oh, it looked terrible. Like, it didn't even look like, it was like worse than what I remember, just even video games being at the time, let alone movies.
We're spoiled though, because we live in the future. And so then basically it goes through the day in the life of Ben. I keep wanting to call him Kyle, but that's his name in the other movie. Ben, he enters the contest. He gets bullied at school. He has to do the bully's homework, blah, blah, blah. And then he wins the contest. I already said that. But the funny part that did not hold up is he falls asleep on the internet. And so no one can call him to tell him that he won the contest.
Yeah, you just touched on like three things that I made note of. So one, like him, I forgot about the whole contest thing. Like I forgot about whatever the, you know, call to action, the story beat, whatever you call it, that they end up in the houses through him applying for a bunch of contests. And it's apparently like a thing he does, because the whole morning his sister and his dad are like, oh my God, not another contest. No, you gotta do those things. And then, so that made me think of your one friend. You've got this one friend who's, you said, always gets like tickets to concerts and things like that. I don't know how much they'll be able to do that now, but you said that there was somebody who just always did that. Mm-hmm. That you knew. What was it, college or high school?
Elementary school.
Oh, good God. We're going way back. All right. So apparently you can win things if you go apply for contests a lot of times. And then also the bully. You touched on the bully, and I literally wrote down, did every 90s movie have to have a bully for any teenage protagonist, or is it just me?
I know. The bully doesn't serve too much of a purpose in this movie, but he does have super spiky hair. And every time he comes on a scene, they go, like an electric guitar, like,
which is also such a 90s thing to do. Like, oh, bad guy. And then, okay, so there's always has to be a bully. Your protagonist always has to have a bully if it is a remotely female family movie, is what I meant to say. Family movie. And then that bully always has to have a toady. Did you notice the toady? That is almost always like, it looks like a smaller version of exactly the same person that is the bully.
Yeah. And he said zero things the whole time.
And then the last thing was, internet. The idea that like his dad gives him this lecture of like, son, you, I'm afraid that you're not on the internet again, are you? What if someone called? And like, so just the whole idea of having to give up the internet, to give up the telephone to be able to be on the internet. Most of those listening may not even remember that. Like, it was a thing. And this was back when you had that dial-up sound. And it took like 20 minutes just to get onto the internet, let alone to then use it, and as opposed to us walking around with it in our friggin' pockets these days. Man, things change in 20 years.
Anyway, so he wins the contest. He finds out via school, because he goes to school and everyone saw it in the newspaper when people used to read the newspaper. And then he goes, Dad, can we move in?
Other dated things.
And then his dad's like, oh, all right. But mostly because he thinks the female scientist is hot. But she is beautiful. She reminds me a mix of Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, I think so.
And what's her name? Marley.
Matlin was the other name I had to write down. Marley Matlin. So this is where I messed it up earlier. Not Kate Siegel, but Marley Matlin is a beautiful and really talented deaf actress who is most famous probably from being on The West Wing. But she's been in a couple of other things. And yeah, she's got like that same look to her.
Mm-hmm. And she's just like very down to earth, very like a good character. I thought she was a great actress, actually.
Yeah, she did a really great job. The actress in this movie, Smart House, is actually Jessica Steen, I think is how you'd probably pronounce it, Jessica Steen. And the only other credit I could find that would be sort of a, you know, claim to fame for me was she was a co-pilot in the movie Armageddon, which came out like, I think, this same year. So other than that, though, underrated. I wish we'd have seen her in more.
And what's the dad's name? The actor who plays the dad?
I didn't write it down.
Oh, poop. Well, he's not in anything, and the younger sister's not in anything. Disney Channel movies didn't really take people places, except for Rehab.
Wow, a little bit of shade being thrown at some child actors and actresses out there. Please forgive us. You want to know what another thing is? As I was just looking back at my notes for actors and actresses, as I was writing it down. Hmm. Something I noticed as I was looking things up on IMDb, the director of this movie, did you catch that? Mm-mm. LeVar Burton.
Oh, I did see that. I was like, wait, when does he pop up in the movie? Yeah, that's awesome.
So you saw his name and you recognized it, but you didn't connect that it was the director?
Yeah. Take a look.
It's in a book.
Smart House is so good. Okay. So then they move into the house. They kind of like do a little feature of the cool things that the house can do. The one thing that I wanted so bad when I was younger is the music videos playing on the wall. So the younger sister's just like jumping up and down listening to Bewitched, which is B with a little asterisk, Witched. They're an Irish girl group. And that was like my dream. She had a purple room, fluffy things everywhere, jumping up and down to Say You Will, Say You Won't, Say you'll do what I do.
So she wants a like LED wall, but she refuses to let us get an 80-inch television screen. She's like all against that. And I'm like, it's the same thing.
Anyways, Pat can also, she understands people and she learns them as she goes along. So she knows what kind of wake up they need. So the little sister gets the symphony at Disney World and Ben gets a basketball buzzer and the dad gets a rooster. And then Pat also picks out their outfits for them in the morning. And she's like, well, this is exactly what you would pick out. And she also has a programmable fridge where she can make anything at any moment, which I was thinking, I was looking at that scene. I was like, oh, that fridge exists now.
Yeah, that's actually true. Pretty much. The one thing I thought about with some of that stuff, though, was like this house is not only a technical marvel, but a logistical one as well, because if it somehow has this like pipeline of fresh food and fruit and other things to cook for you, not only does it like it's like apparently fully stocked for fresh things to be able to make them for you at a moment's notice. And I'm like, how the fudge? Like, there's got to be a staff of people that come and just like, you know, are shoveling bits of food or something into the systems of the house in the back or something like that.
So it's still a futuristic house. We haven't figured that part out yet.
Another thing I have to give is a small gripe out of nowhere. Huh. And I don't, this is, for the life of me, I don't understand maybe the filmmakers why they shot this scene. They had the whole control room. Maybe they hadn't set it up yet. But there's a first scene when she's like putting the final touches on the house. Mm-hmm. And she like peels back this portion of the wall. Do you remember this? Mm-mm. And there's like computer stuff on the wall. And then puts the thing back. Mm-hmm. That is a giant magnet. For those of you who don't know, computers don't do well with magnets. So putting a giant magnet where you have a bunch of computer chips would not have been a brilliant idea.
Anyways, there's also floors that suck up any mess. Because at first I was like, oh, why is there carpet in the kitchen? And then she spills her milkshake and you see that Pat can suck things up. Anyway, so the house is really cool. As a kid watching this, it was so cool because it was like, she knows me. She can understand what I want. I would love to live in a house like this. But then because Ben really wants, he doesn't want his dad to date anyone, especially Sarah, who's the scientist. He program this 12-year-old boy clearly knows how to program a very smart house. He sneaks into the control room and programs Pat to be more mom-like by watching like comedic 50s TV shows.
Yeah, and I feel like that's sort of a trope. I feel like that a lot of movies have done is like, here, learn from this other like thing of, you know, the. And if we're all being real, like 1950s television, as I understand it, did not exactly describe accurately how women were in the 1950s, nor does it necessarily describe what an actual ideal mother should be. But I thought to myself, it's too bad because there's so many things that Pat is able to do and like anticipates medical needs and things of that nature. Honestly, I just wish that maybe the programmers had a little bit more foresight in discovering that she could be also a good therapist, because that little boy needs one.
He had mommy issues, lots of mommy issues. I kept writing down, he's so mad, he's so angry, he's so mad, which I get. He's mad that his mom died. Totally understand that, but he takes it out on everybody. But anyways, she gets programmed into super mom mode, but then she loves them so much and wants to care for them so much because she's in super mom mode. She starts listening to their conversations, which again is not far off from what's happening in real life, because that's what Alexa does, y'all. And that's why we don't have her in our house. But he's like, the dad says, you really need to have more fun. So then she programs in fun. And that's when it starts to get really creepy, where Pat's like, I'll give you fun, and then throws a party for him. And
can we just laugh a little bit briefly for those of you who, the scene where she goes to like Google what fun is for young people?
Dancing, group dancing. Yeah. So they throw a party and he gets in trouble because he got caught, but Pat really threw the party. So then they shut Pat down. And then this is where it gets scary. Pat overrides herself. So she gets completely shut off because she was a bad Pat, and then turns herself back on, and not only turns the whole system back on, kicks Sarah out, the love interest scientist, and makes the door electric, and then puts all the locks on the door and studs on the door, and then turns herself into a virtual reality or whatever she is, and then starts being very scary.
Yeah. And in order to get people here, she sneakily, without the permission of anyone else, finds the email address book.
Oh, yeah.
email address book of a, what, 12 or 13 year old in 1999. I don't think I got my first email until freshman year of high school. And it was literally like a Netscape. Yeah, Netscape for some of you that doesn't remember that. Address that a friend of mine who was like an email tech person set up or had for me. So I literally had the thought that like, even, I mean, I was not a popular kid in school, so it's, that would not have helped. But I don't think even the popular kids had email addresses back then.
But anyways, everyone shows up and the bully shows up and then Pat harasses the bully. She like beats him up. So that was
like actually legit kind of apparently throws lightning bolts like a god. Mm-hmm. That was kind of scary.
And a skull to scare him. And yeah, there's a lot. So anyways, Pat becomes a human-ish. She becomes a virtual projection, as she says.
Not a hologram, a virtual projection.
And I think the scariest thing that she says during that is, "Mother," sorry, microphone pop, "Mother knows best." So scary.
Yeah, and then she's like throwing wind all around and everything. That's really freaky. Yeah.
Yeah. So she gets all mad and locks them in and like is basically trying to keep them to herself, and they don't want any mother for anyone else. And that's actually horrifying. That's the scary part of that. And I don't think I was scared when I was a kid. I think I was more scared now because we have so many more devices
that could actually do that if they self-actualized. Yeah.
It was just like more real now.
Yeah. I had the thought, I didn't make the note, but I had the thought of like, oh yeah. I mean, it's basically the plot of like iRobot or like any artificial intelligence thing essentially equates to like, oh, we're going to build this artificial intelligence and we're going to give it this one rule that it must, you know, not harm humans. And then like second rule, it has to help humans prevent each other from harm or something like that. It's like built with altruistic means. And then sort of the realization that like, oh, but human beings are basically such garbage people that the computer will likely come to the logical conclusion that the only way to protect you is to basically wall you off from the world and let you be nothing but like, you know, a contained prisoner, and exactly what she does. And that's a frightening idea.
Yeah, very scary. But don't worry. Remember that mail chute we were talking about with the arm that comes out? It comes back and Sarah jumps through it and saves the family. Actually, she doesn't save the family. She's just in there. And then Ben says, "You'll never be real, Pat, because you can't hold us." And then she gets all sad. And then the end. Basically.
And then it kind of just skips ahead to happily ever after. Yeah, yeah. Pretty much. But that was, yeah, that first moment when she like starts self-projecting or whatever, that was the moment we were talking about. I actually thought that the musical cues were very good. LeVar Burton did a pretty decent job. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So would you renew your vows to this movie?
Well, I have a couple of other things I wanted to talk about. I was just going to curious if you had anything else before we get to the renewing vows and the love hearts rating.
No, I just think the ending was kind of anticlimactic because Pat still exists, but in a box and winks. And she's like, "I got you." So she like half lets them cook, but cleans up for, I don't know. They like dumbed down Pat a little bit, but I'm like, that bitch could rise up again.
Yeah, and there's actually that closing where he like looks to a screen. So she's not self-projecting, but she's there and watching as Kate Siegel, and he like looks at her and there's sort of that like knowing look, and then that's what it closes on. Yeah. That's kind of eerie.
Yeah.
I also put down, like, so this movie made me think of, because you know this, Danielle, and movie lovers who've been with us for a while may have heard me make these comparisons before. I always think of things in terms of other pop culture and references. There is an episode of 30 Rock where Alec Baldwin's character is trying to get a movie made and get it made like under a budget or like the ability to not have it cost a bunch of money to make it. And he keeps adding his promotions and adding his other things and vertical integration and cross promotional stuff. This movie was chalked full of that stuff. There's like a bunch of Sony television screens. You obviously have all of the you know, pop star young people that are like on the Disney Channel were also being pushed through that movie. Like, mm-hmm. It was secretly a low-key commercial for like everything that Disney was apparently doing at the time.
But that's Disney.
And now they own us all. Anyway, so the other thing that I wrote was, and I know you and I talked about this at the time, work from home. Like,
oh yeah,
so much the work from home situation being like very similar to what it is now. And she like makes the case of like, studies have shown that, you know, saving time on your commute and emotional energy makes it easier. As long as you are hooked up to everything we've got you hooked up to you know, from your home office to your work computer. And like, that's literally what so many of us are doing right now. And it just, it blew my mind how that was spot on in terms of its predictions.
Yeah, it was also like, I looked over at you and I was like, this is like quarantine, because when she tries to lock them in, she like explains her plan and how it's safer and blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh. Oh, because they were like, kids need fresh air and exercise. And she's like, well, I have simulated fresh air and virtual exercise. And I was like, oh, shit, that's what we're doing right now.
But really, though. All right. Thank you for letting me have my couple of other things. And for that reason, I'm going to allow you to go first if you would like. Would you renew your vows to this movie?
Duh. I love any Disney Channel movie. But also, I think this one, I expected it to be super not relevant. And like I said earlier, it's even more relevant now. But in a weird way, it's scarier than it used to be when I was a kid. But it's still, I still think it's a really unique concept for a children's movie. And it's just very enjoyable because it's got that stupid, like, Disney Channel, like, like, love and happiness and lightheartedness. And it's just, I love it.
Okay, so you're going to hate me.
Oh, no.
I have to say, under the guise of, you know, renewing vows is like, does it still kind of hold up for you as it was when you first watched it? No.
How rude.
I agree with you a lot of what you just said. And I was thinking as you were talking, like, if you have young children and, you know, want to have them something to watch, I think this is a good movie for that. If you have nostalgia for it the way that we do, mm-hmm. I think it is worth a rewatch because it was actually very entertaining and enlightening in that way. But in terms of like, does it have the same magic for me that it used to? No, I'm afraid it does not.
But that's because all the things that they predicted were going to happen are happening.
Only like 60%.
That's a lot for a Disney Channel movie.
All right. So with that, what's your heart rating out of 5 hearts? How many would you give it?
Give it a solid 4.
A solid 4 or a salad 4?
A salad 4.
I literally keep hearing salad fork. That's interesting.
4.
So I got to say, sort of objectively, I'm going to give it like a 3 out of 5. I almost want to go 2.5. It's not like a sort of objectively good quote unquote movie. But yeah, like I said, if you got nostalgia for it, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a great movie, but it's unique and it's fun, and that's why I like it.
And if you do have a Disney Plus subscription, it's on there, so it's good to go. You don't have to, you know, go anything further as long as you've got that already. It's not like you got to pay an extra $30 to watch it like you would have to for Mulan.
Burn, Disney.
All right, well, I think that's pretty much it. We've talked enough. Anything else you have to say?
I love you, Nicholas.
I love you, Danielle. And listeners, we love you very much. Make sure to check us out on our social media. Let us know what you thought of this movie. Give us your love, your heart ratings. Tell us how much you liked this movie. Let us know about whether you want a new section where Danielle summarizes, synopsizes, whatever the movie it is we're watching. And make sure to check us out because we're going to have a trailer dropping pretty soon for a little bit of some clips from best bits of season 1 and a little bit of some teasers or things looking ahead for season 2, which will start next month. And we look forward to keeping you all with us, and make sure to share us with your friends.
Bye-bye.
Follow us on Twitter at iWithMovies, Facebook at facebook.com/withmoviesinlove, and Instagram at inlove_withmovies.
You can email us questions or love topics that you want us to talk about at withmoviesinlove@gmail.com. That's withmoviesinlove@gmail.com. We really do want to hear from you. Any original music on this podcast is written by Danny Smith.
And the podcast is produced and edited by my husband, Nick Baldwin. We did it!